Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
We would call kind of a love weekend, looking at the fact that it was Valentine's Day, and hopefully you took time to do something special for your spouse or that special somebody in your life. I took Robin out to Plaza last night. We had our Valentine's Day. We was home by 6:18. So that's the way life is when you just get, you know, and go back and get in those recliners. I had a great time. But it was good. We had a great time. I was trying to think how many Valentines we've had together. At least 37, I suspect. But it's always good to have that moment. You know, love seems to be a subject with blurred lines in today's society that we live in. People use the word loosely in many different ways that their actions do not equate the definition of the word. Also, even in the Bible, the word love has different types of meaning. Just because it's spelt out with the four-letter word love, sometimes we have to look and see what that particular word means. I've preached the message on different types in the past, such as Eros, which is between man and woman, romantic love, or storge, which is a love for a parent or a sibling. And all these are spelled L-O-V-E, and philia, which is talking about brotherly love between one another. And then agape, which is the love that's called unconditional love. All those words are used in the Bible, and so when you read them in context, you need to figure out which word that's been spoke of. So it's kind of confusing even in that. Paul in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, he penned the definition of love to a church that was in conflict among themselves in order to show them what love should be about in the church. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is called the love chapter. It describes what our relationships are supposed to be like between one another, how we're supposed to treat one another, how we're supposed to act toward one another. And so if you're ever curious on how you're supposed to treat a member of the church, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it'll describe that definition of how we are supposed to treat one another. Then there's that famous question that comes from young people most of the time: how do I know if I'm in love? And I'm sure all of you got the definition for that, or how you can tell somebody. Well, it just happens. You'll know when it does happen. So all those things are there. So what if we as Christians know all about the types of love and even the meaning of love, yet are not certain on where love should be placed? Did you know you can know all about the love, you know the definitions of it, but sometimes we may not be certain on where our love is to be placed and where God would have us to place our love. So in that case, we should get our instructions from the Creator. Amen? The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:16, as we have known and believed the love that God has for us, God is love. God is love. Now, that's been twisted in many different ways, that God loves me so much I can do whatever I want to. But the fact is, we can't deny the fact that the Bible says God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So if God is love, therefore, he knows more about love than any human being ever born. No matter their education level, no matter what they may think they know, God knows more about love than any human being. He sets the definitions of love, the different types. He sets the rules of love. He says, they that love me will keep my commandments. This is God. He is love. He sets the boundaries of love, what and who we are to love, and what and who we are not to love. God sets all these things when it comes to that word love. And the reason I'm speaking of this, because sometimes I feel we as Christians put our love in places we shouldn't have them. I believe we put a love on areas that we shouldn't have any love on. And so this morning, I'm going to spend a few moments that we have left speaking of the right places or the boundaries of love. And I'm going to cover and start about this or talk about this for a moment. If the boundaries of love, I wish to just take a moment to talk about. And keep in mind, I was looking at the topic this morning. As I was looking at it, I discovered that we had more to love than not to love. Isn't it amazing? God gives us more to love than not to love. It's almost like the Garden of Eden. He says, you can have all these trees but one. And guess which one man went after? And I don't know if that's human nature, but sometimes we feel like when we come into a relationship with Christ, we give up so much. But the truth is, we get a lot more than we ever had. God isn't one that doesn't give you abundance. The Word of God says, Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. And sometimes we feel like we're surrendering living when we come into our relationship with God. But the fact is that you can find more that God tells us that we can love than what you can find that He says you can't love. And that's one of the things that we have to get into our heart and understand. That God, the creator of the love, God who is love, is the one that we should listen to about love. Because He is the master. Amen? He is the expert. He knows all about it. So I want to look at the short list first, because the other list is really long, and we got chilly here in a little while. But the first list is what I want to look at this morning, is what Christians are not to love. And we look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Listen, this is similar, when we read this, this is similar to the tree that brought death in the Garden of Eden. When God exposes or reveals what we are not to love, the end of those things that we, if we love those things that we're not to love, the end of that is not eternal life. See, we must live here. I mean, you know, if you're not living here, you're somewhere else. You're either up there or you're down there. One or the other. We must live here, and Jesus even said, keep them here. And there are many things in this world that are very nice. If I ask you some things that you have that are very nice, I'm sure all of you could give me a list. Things that you really enjoy in life. I'm glad I got to drive to San Jacinto this morning in a GMC pickup. I'm glad that we have certain things. I'm glad I didn't have to sleep with 8 blankets last night because we have a heater. There's a lot of nice things in this world. But can I tell you this morning, the nice things that we have, they are to be used by us, not to be loved by us. And oftentimes we fall in the trap that we love the things of this world. And the Bible teaches us that these things that we have on this world that we live in are things that we are to use. See, just the opposite with people. We are to love people and not use them. And so when we look at this and what God is speaking to us in this verse, we are not to love the precepts of this world system that sets itself at odds with God. The teachings in this world that sets its system at odds with God, things that go against the Word of God, we as Christians are not to love that part of this world. We aren't to take that in. For example, a culture that accepts any religion or God. Can I tell you this morning what's going to separate the church one day is the fact that we teach and preach that Jesus Christ is the only way unto the Heavenly Father. There is no other way. And we don't worship the same God that the Muslims worship. We don't worship the same God that the Hindus worship. We worship the only God. In any system, any culture that sets up that any religion goes, then we are not to love that culture. That should not be part of that, because that is the thinking of the world. We heard it, that there are many ways to heaven. No, sir, no, ma'am. There's only way to one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb of God. No other way. And so we can't love any other teaching. We can't love any other culture, because that is of the world system. A school system that refuses God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but yet accepts Muhammad. A system that says you can't pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they can pray to Allah. Come on, we are not to accept that. We are not to love a system like that at all. It would surprise you. How many Christians today are saying we just need to tolerate? No, we don't tolerate that which we do not love. A school system that messes with the kids' mind concerning gender or even gay teachings. I know it's not popular preaching. Or a law that approves murdering of our children, called abortion. A law that condones mind-altering drugs, such as alcohol. Oh, pastor, not alcohol. Yes, alcohol. I mean, no, alcohol is a drug that alters your mind. There's many people that have done things while drinking that they would have never done sober. And not only that, marijuana. Now, how many of you know Doug Eccles? You know, he made a few comments about marijuana while he's preaching the revival. He told me the other day, you know, when I was sick, he said, you ought to try some of that. I said, I don't think. He's just messing with me. But there's a lot of laws out there that we shouldn't fall in. The whole system, everything that this world sets up that is opposing and at odds with God, we are not to fall into love with any of that system. None of it. A Hollywood that believes in promoting a lot of skin and sin. And even more freely, using our God's name in vain. If you haven't noticed here lately, it's all right to use God's name on Prime TV. We're not to fall in love with such systems. I haven't got time to go on and ago, but anything that goes against the Word of God in the system, in the culture, or in the world that we live in, we are not to fall in love with that. We are not to fall in love with people that are non-Christians. Can I tell you, you cannot find missionary dating in the Bible. We're not to fall in love with them in such a way that we would want to marry them. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked. That's what Scripture says. Well, Pastor, I've had people tell me, Pastor, I'm going to get them when they get saved. I tell people when I premarital counsel them, you better like the way they are right now, because you lose all your bargaining when you say I do. Don't shout me down. We are not to love any of the three aspects of this world. The lust of the flesh. That's a world's view, gratifying the things of the flesh, the physical body. We are not to love those things. The lust of the eyes. Never content. Just give me more, 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 and more. Do you know we live in a very materialistic world, and if you can't be satisfied as a Christian, you need to learn to be satisfied with Jesus. Because in Him, I have found that He's the most satisfying thing, person, being that I've ever had in my life. It's there. We're not to fall in love with the things of the world. Remember, I'm not saying you can't. We got to live in the world, but those things we can't fall in love with, or the pride of life. Excuse me, that one slept. The pride of life. What is that? Talking about titles. Or look at me, I'm somebody. Did you know, even in the Christian realm right now, there's some people that have so many things in front of their name, I'm going, I don't know what to call you. Well, you just call me pastor, evangelist, doctor, apostle. Oh, let's throw in bishop while I'm at it. And that is what we have in the church world today. And I'm just wondering who we will be before, when we go before Jesus Christ. Will he call, here comes the doctor, apostle, the bishop. Everybody give him reverence. Or will he say, here comes that one that was puffed up with pride? I'm just saying today, those things we are not to fall in love with is what the Word of God says. It says, love not this world. Did you know the lovers of this world have a doomsday scheduled by God? Whether they know it or not, there's coming a day that everything that they love in this world is going to end, and it will be no more. It's coming soon, where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is on the horizon. That's the short list. So we're not to love the world or the things in the world. But let's look at what Christians are to love. You know, I think we should look more at what God wants us to love than what he doesn't want us to love. The first thing is our Lord. I think this is the given. Everybody knows that we are to love our Lord. The Bible tells us, Matthew 22 through 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. God dwelling in us will direct us to love him in our lives. If we truly have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, he will direct us to love God with all that we have. That's going to be his job. This should be a natural thing for every born-again Christian, because he loved us first is why we love him. We find that in 1 John 4:19. Good things come from loving God. We find in Romans 8:28 that God gives us good things when we love him. Can I tell you this morning, Joseph overcame every temptation that he was faced with because of his love for God. He chose God over everything that came at him. And I think it's important that we get that love deep down inside of us and remember that in our life. So Joseph overcome them. And it's the same thing with you and me. I think one of the first things, if we're going to love God and love the things of God, we've got to fall in love with God. I don't need God just as somebody had got me and threw me a lifesaver from the pit of hell that I was going to. I need somebody that I love in my life. And I think that makes a huge difference in you and I. We are to love our neighbor. The Bible tells us that's the second great commandment in Matthew 22 and 38 through 40. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now think about that just for a moment, that we are to love our neighbor. You may be thinking about that guy next door, but can I tell you this morning, our neighbor are those people that are in our circle. Everybody in Amarillo is in our circle. That is our neighbor who we are supposed to love. Those in our world that are in our world. The lost, no matter what the sin they are committing in their life or the false religion that they're adhering to, we are to give them the love that God gave you and I. We will never win the lost for Jesus if we don't love them. If it doesn't break our hearts that there are people right now that just drew their last breath and broke open the gates of hell. We must have a love for our neighbor. It's all right for us to love those that perhaps are living an alternative lifestyle. That doesn't mean we condone. That means we love them enough to tell them the truth. We're living in a world you can't be opposite of any opinion because you are now be called a hater. But the fact is, I don't have to agree with you to love you. God wants us to do this. He says, love thy neighbor. The saved, no matter, listen, this is another thing I think we need to get over. We're to love our neighbor, even the ones that are saved. No matter the denomination they belong to. My mother said, if you're not Assembly of God, you're not going to heaven. She meant it. And I think, well, Mom, that's pretty rough. But the fact is, many times, we have a hard time loving others, no matter the church they go to, maybe across town, Maybe their church doesn't look like ours, doesn't preach like ours, or doesn't sing like ours, or whatever it may be. Can I tell you, we are still to love them? I've had some people, when I tell them I'm a Pentecostal preacher, doesn't want anything to do with me, I just stick my tongue out at them. No, I'm just saying that's the way the world is, and it's sad that's the way the Christian community is. It's time that we love our brothers and sisters. They may not be a tongue talker. They may not be a lot of things that we are, but God never drew that line. Man drew that line, not God. They may be a different color of skin, but God did not draw that line. We are to love our neighbors, even those that go to different churches and are belonging to different denominations. We are to love them with the love of Christ flowing through us. And we are to love them enough that are in sin, enough to speak truth to them because we want the truth. That is the job of the church of Jesus Christ, is to speak the truth in love, not in condemnation. Jesus said they're already condemned. We don't have to condemn them, but it's to preach the truth in love or share the truth in love to them because their soul is what we need to see saved. It's that type of love. We are to love them enough to share the message of Jesus Christ. Let me know, you can't go wrong sharing Jesus. It's the most powerful thing I can do, the most anointed thing I can do. Is tell someone about Jesus Christ. I've yet to feel the anointing when I share Jesus. Because that's what God wants us to do. We are to love our enemies. Don't y'all shout me down on this one either. Luke 6:27, but I say to you here, love your enemies. Now, how many of you have an enemy? Okay, we got one honest, two honest people in the house. You guys get out early. The rest of them, will keep them a while. This is the hard one sometimes. This is that person that gossips about you or backbites you, or perhaps they've gathered troops against you or an army against you, keeps you from advancing at work, or maybe even cusses you out. The Bible says we are to love them. We're to love them enough to be kind to them. When they do bad deeds, we're to be kind to them. But we also are there to love them enough to pray for them. Not like God, oh, send a fireball from heaven and take them out. That's not the kind of love. But we are to love them enough to pray God seriously for them, that God will touch them. Can I tell you, a lot of times when people act in an unnatural or uncommon way, even with emotions and stuff like that, there's something deeper in them that needs to be healed. And oftentimes we look at the symptom, we condemn them, but maybe sometimes if you've got somebody in your life, you need to pray, God, I don't know whatever it was in their past, maybe in their childhood or whatever it might have been, pray that they start to heal up, that the wound that they felt so deep that causes them to feel the way they feel, may you do a work in their life. May you set them free of that. Because listen, a lot of times when people are acting that way, they need a deep healing inside. You're just on their target list because of something that's hurting deep inside. And we pray for healing in there. And sometimes we just write them off, but they need Jesus to do a work. We're to love other Christians. I had a guy tell me one time that he had to love me, but he didn't have to like me. And that was his with anybody that he had a problem with. But John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love. I mean, that's from Christ himself, that you love one another as, listen to what he says, as I have loved you. Aren't you glad Jesus loved you even when you really wasn't lovable to other people? Aren't you glad that Jesus walked by your life, pulled you out of that horrible pit, or maybe you were just in the miry clay, but either way, he set your feet up on the rock to stay. Aren't you glad we have a Christ like that? He says, I want you to love one another in the church like I love you. How many of you have ever done anything that you thought Christ would quit loving you for? I mean, let's just be human just for a moment. We're not a one of us are perfect in this room or watching online this morning. There are those moments in our life that we just stink. We had something in common with Lazarus. And there's those moments that Christ says, looked unto the Father, just bear with me for a moment, says, you know, they're not really looking too good today, but I still love them, Father. There's been those moments, and maybe a few more moments in my life that Jesus had to say that, but I thank God that he didn't cast me to the curb and kick me out because he still loved me. That's that agape, unconditional type love. And it's a love that's patient with one another. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. That means there's going to be a multitude of sins. And we must understand that this morning is that God has told us to love one another. As Christ loves us, even with the occasional disagreeing, every now and then, we ought to just have disagreement once every decade. In the occasional, I don't get it, I don't like you, we're still to love one another. We are to apply 1 Corinthians 13 in the midst of us. For it is the blueprint of Christian love toward one another. In our body, in the church, we are to love one another in such a way. I know that each one of you have been challenged. I don't know if I can love them anymore. Yes, you can, with the help of God. We're told to love our spouses. What a wonderful thing. Or Titus chapter 2, verse 4 says that you admonish the young women to love their husbands. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. This is written in a culture of arranged marriages. A culture that in order, a lot of times, to have a marriage, it was for the benefit of that family. The woman was seen nothing but a wagering way of getting more money or more land. And so it wasn't about love. Perhaps this is where the phrase was coined, what did love have to do with it? Because literally in these arrangements, there was nothing about love. It was all about the men deciding who would marry who. And then we find in these scriptures, it's written in a Christian attitude, in a Christian way, saying, husbands, love your wife. That could have been spoken to somebody that had an arranged marriage and the woman was there just because of her dowry. And it's spoken to him, says, love your wife. As a Christian man would love Jesus Christ, or as Jesus Christ loved you. Can I tell you, that tells me there's hope for any marriage that's losing their love. Because he's speaking into that culture, and then they say to the woman, love your husband. This is something that we need in a relationship, is love. You say, well, I don't feel much love. We'll work on it. Amen. Guys, you know, I heard one guy, you know, the woman says, well, you never tell me you love me. And they've been married for like 20 years. And he says, listen, I told you I love you when we first started dating. If that changes, I'll let you know. I tell you, I want to tell you young couples that got kids, y'all need to take time, go out on a date. Leave those kids with your grandparents because we love them. We love our grandkids, but don't leave all your kids at my house. But I'm just saying, leave those kids, get a good babysitter, whatever you need to do, go have a date night, and sometimes you need to go have a weekend together. Because it would surprise you how many couples, when they get to that age, their kids are out of the house, they look across the table from one another and say, who are you? Why? Because they didn't work on the marriage. We are to love our spouses. And sometimes Robin has found that I am almost unlovable. But thank God she has patience. I come around as soon as I say, I'm sorry and yes, ma'am. But I'm just saying today, sometimes we have to work that out in our lives. It's a work, to love our spouses. They're supposed to be something special. The Bible says you have found a good thing when you found a wife. Thank you for that one. The rest of y'all need to pick up on what I'm saying over here. That was your opportunity, women. But we are to love one another. We are to love our spouses as Christ loved the church. That's an amazing love. It's an amazing love that loved us beyond our faults, beyond our inabilities, and even in our bad things. We're to love. The next thing as I go on is love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Love the brotherhood. I have a brother-in-law. He went to Texas A&M. He's been out for several decades. But I've noticed something about Aggies. There is something they dip them in when they go to college that bonds them together for lifetime. It doesn't matter how long they've been out. They are still just as much Aggie as they were the day they walked across that platform. They wear the burgundy. And he married a Texas Tech lady, but it hasn't swayed him one bit. He's still Aggie as much as... I had a guy that was, when I was doing business, he spent a lot of money with our store. He was Aggie, and it's like they have this special brotherhood. They don't even have to know each other. All they have to say, I went to A&M. Hey, good. Oh, I just love you so much. There's a brotherhood in that. I admire brotherhood. I think about it. You know, when I'm dipped purple and white, I'm a Spearman Links. And I really am. My mother-in-law, she was going to be crowned homecoming queen in the homecoming queen court for class of something way back there. Not that far if you're watching. But, you know, and it was going to be at, and don't get upset if you're from, it was going to be at Groover. And there's going to be a football game playing. I said, I don't know if I can stay on Groover's side. Because there was such a tension between Groover and Spearman. I said, I don't know. I hope nobody sees me over here. Why? Because I'm a Spearman Links. The brotherhood. We are told in this passage of Scripture to love the brotherhood. Can I tell you this morning that you and I are in a brotherhood, man and woman. It's a brotherhood that has been brought together. We are bound by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can't think of better adhering agent than the blood of Jesus Christ that has bound us together. Who? Every one of us this morning that has been washed in the blood of Jesus, we have entered the brotherhood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! I'm telling you today, what a brotherhood we have today in our lives because of Christ. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost. What are my colors? Oh, the Holy Ghost has sealed me, and He sealed you, and we have a brotherhood that we're bound by the running red blood of Christ, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of heaven. Hallelujah! We are bound as a brotherhood. That's who we are through Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. Can I tell you what? A&M is going to be out one day. The Spearman Links will be out one day. They won't even be in my memory. But the brotherhood that I'm in right now, oh, you're not getting it. The brotherhood that I'm in right now lasts for eternity. We're all going to, one day, we're going to all be up in heaven when the rapture takes place. And all of, after 7 years of tribulation, oh, the Lord said, hey, get my brotherhood together. We're going to mount up on some horses. And we'll all come together. We're going to elbow each other. Hey, here we come. We're going to conquer. And we're going to rule for 1,000 years. That brotherhood. And that's what part we are. We should love the brotherhood. We should love the fact. I've got brothers that and people from Campo. I was talking to our couple this morning about pastoring in Campo. Got some people there. I got some in Stinnett. I got some in Spearman. Got some here. Just all the brotherhood of God. Amen? We should love the brotherhood. It should be part of our life. Last thing. We should love His appearing. We should love His appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8 says this, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day, and not to the only ones, but also," listen to what it says here, "but also to all who have loved His appearing." Who have loved His appearing. We are to love the message of Jesus is coming soon. I believe it can shake some people up that are not saved. We say, "Well, Jesus is coming soon." You know, that used to be the pastor's altar call or the evangelist. You may not get tomorrow because Jesus is coming soon. We need to love the appearing of Christ. Have you ever thought what's going to take place when He appears? I'm not talking about the rapture, because the rapture and the second coming, the second advent, are two different things. The Bible says that the eyes, every eye is going to see Him. It says all of Israel, those that are there at the end part of the tribulation, will be saved. All of them will be saved because, well, they're going to see their coming Messiah. The Bible says He's going to come as lightning in sky, in the sky. In other words, this is going to be a UFO identified as the Son of God coming. And the Bible says out of His mouth is going to come a sword. And by those swords, He's going to defeat all His enemies. But, you know, at the same time, there's not going to be a question of who He is. Every sermon that's been preached, everything that this world's heard about Christ, all those that have laughed, all those that have mocked the fact that of the second coming that you read about in 2 Peter, the third chapter, all of them have mocked. All of them will be silent. All of them will be made quiet because they are seeing Jesus come, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not coming in some baby carriage. Come on, He's going to come on a white stallion. And His hair is going to be white like mine. That's why I'm trying to look like Christ. His eyes are going to be red. And He is going to have on His vest the Son of God and the Word of God. It's on that day that everyone that has cussed Him or spoke evil of are going to understand who He is. He's going to come, and He's going to come to the eastern gate of Jerusalem that's been sealed off, cemented, a cemetery in front of it, so that He can't come through. How many of you know that's not going to do anything? He's going to walk through like it's just pudding. I'm just going to tell you, He's going to go right through it, and He's going to set His kingdom up in kingdom in Jerusalem, the apple of God's eye, Israel. And you know what's going to take place? You and I are going to rule with Him for 1,000 years, called the millennium. The devil is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Peace on earth. Hey, it's sounding too good, right? But this is what's going to take place. Can I tell you, there's no more bills for you to pay? Somebody should have shouted hallelujah. No more 45-minute sermons. Woo! Things are going to be different than what we know today. We should love His appearing. We should pray for His appearing. We should say, "Oh Lord, would You come back? Would You come back soon?" Why? Because we know things will be different then, and we know that things are going to be made right. Amen? Why? Because Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is coming on that eastern sky, and everything from that moment is changed for eternity. 1,000 years of millennium, great white throne judgment, then He wipes away every tear in everybody's eyes, and the Bible says everything is made new. Listen, the Twinkie won't even tempt you then. No more temptation. No more all that in our lives. Sounds too good to be true? Let me tell you, everything I've said is found right here in the Word of God. But it depends on what we love in this world. Listen, the Bible has a lot more to say about where we are to place our love. And I think as Christians, we need to start understanding it is important where I place my love. Look, I love jet boats. I love, hold it, that is wrong. I like jet boats. I like a lot of things in this world, but they must never come in between me and God. Amen? I've prayed some people that are gone for Sunday after Sunday in those boats, God, pull the plug. No. I'm just saying today it's important of where we place our love, especially, I mean, the Bible has a lot. I've just spoke something about New Testament, but if you include the Old Testament in this topic that I'm speaking of this morning, you might find something like we are to love mercy. Not just to receive it, but to give mercy. But there's no way I can preach all in one setting. But the thought is this, we should be very cautious on where we are placing our love in this world that we live. Make sure we're placing it on the things that are approved by God and not on the things that are not approved by God, because it's the ones approved by God that we want in our lives. It will affect my eternity in my future, whether I be in heaven or whether I be in hell. As Christians, we must not be like this world when it comes to love. I think that's important that we start to understand, as Christians, we are different. Amen? You know, if you got up this morning in your neighborhood, got dressed, hopped in your car and came to church while 80% of your neighbors laid in bed, you're different. Amen? I think it's time that we start to understand we are called to a different lifestyle. It's not a boring lifestyle. I love Christian. I love being Christian. I love God. What a blessing. Amen? But we're called to be different, and we're called to love different than what this world loves.